At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Audio Frontier. This is Football Daft with Stephen Purdon.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man, suspicious character.
And
welcome to Football Daft, the daftest Scottish football podcast around. My name's Stephen Purdon and let's welcome the team. This week, we have a full team, a complete lineup. And first, let's welcome a man who can give us the inside scoop on Billy Gilmour these days. And he's just bought his new Scotland tap with Billy Gilmour on it. It is none other than Grado. How are you, mate?
Aye, but that's, do you know what I mean? I bought it this before the tournament started and it came the day after we get knocked out and whatever, but everything's all good. Good to see you again, boys.
Good to see you, mate.
Totally gutted about wee Billy getting all COVID at the start of the week. Obviously, I gave him a wee text, I didn't apply. Everything's all good. Obviously, gutted and stuff like that. But it's good to see you, Troops. How's everything been for the last couple of weeks and that? All been?
All good, innit? All good. It's been good. But all
great
to
Midland.
Fair to Midland, he's got a running battle with his electric company at the moment.
OVO Energy, I'm naming and shaming. Telling you this now, a year ago they says, come to us, we'll do your gas and electric for £88 a month. I says, £88 a month, that sounds fantastic. I gets a letter through the other day. By the way, see how we've been taking £88 a month off? You've been using nearly £280 a month, so you owe us £900.
£280 a month?!
I don't know what the hell's going on. Honestly, what? I don't know what's going on. Now, this happened with Scottish Power before, right? So, I think I'm heating the whole fucking block here. I live in a four in a block, and I'm heating every house.
Mate, that's bad. Listen, Tol, it must be hanging with energy companies, because I'm fucking blacklisted now, because of that Eon.
Remember that, mate? That's
mate, I'm blacklisted. Honestly, because I thought I paid a bill, right, obviously, Stein myself and all that. I was a wee bit kind of, what's going on here? What's the crack with paying bills and all that? This was maybe about 2 years ago. And I thought I paid my bill quarterly. Now, I know that's daft, but it's one of the ones that they're giving it. Do you want to set up a direct debit? And you're like, nah, fuck it, I'll just pay it every other month. Which was stupid in hindsight, but there was a time where I phoned up to pay my last bill, but then apparently I was due a bill or something like that. I got it changed to direct debit. Either way, I had been paying it, but it looked for 4 months that I hadn't been paying it. I mean, I've defaulted, man. What the? And like, see, try to get tick. That's a big red neck, man.
Aye, so anyway, football, eh?
That's it.
What about football?
Football, after we're talking about fucking credit files.
I actually thought I had a good credit rating, Bob, because I was on that Experian, and it obviously tells you.
And then
my credit file was like, fucking 300.
Anyway, before we get to other news, right?
Yes.
I don't know if you've noticed, I've usually got Nolan Liam in the background.
I
have Champions top, Champions Edition Rangers top, signed by the current squad and management, kindly given to me by none other than our mutual friend, Grado, Scott Arfield. Grado did, and I quote, when I told him about it, his words were, it's got to take me a while to get out of this. I know you're a...
I get it. You wormed your way in.
I like my football merch, mate.
You wormed your way in, it means Scott Arfield's relationship. It's totally fine, mate. It's good. But it will take me a while to get it. I'm happy for you. Well, I'm chuffed. But that should be mine.
But listen, see, at the end of the day, he's not invited any use to see his championship medal.
Exactly, man. And maybe
I'll not be taking up the offer late enough, but it's nice.
I don't message these guys at like half one this Saturday night when I'm mad, but you know what I mean?
All right, okay, you got me there.
Anyway, boys, right, the Euros, our Euro dream is over. It's over. Croatia pumped us 3-1 at Hampden. Let's just cut to the chase. Let's not butter it up. Let's just get to it. What the fuck went wrong?
Oh, we get shagged, didn't we?
Right. Grado.
Listen, mate, I'm telling you, was honestly, this was exciting. It was brilliant that we all got together, like I've said. But at the end of the day, we weren't good enough, man. We're just no good enough, and I don't like this. Proud to be there, and the fans were great. The fans were brilliant. The fans were exceptional.
The fans are always great.
Mate, you're bang on.
It's time they started paying the boys back. That's what it is. It's time they started paying these fans back. These fans travel all over the world to see Scotland. How many times have you seen us playing teams like Azerbaijan, and there's 5,000 Scotland fans there? Do you know what I mean? It's time that these boys get paid back, right? There's now. Don't get me wrong. The players there.
I'm not blaming the players, though.
The players are there, right? It's just the system is stuck in the dark ages, man. It's stuck in the dark ages. We're still setting up naughty lose when we've got the players there to win these games, right? England in that game were there for the taking. Okay. The Czech Republic, all right, they've qualified. They've done well. But they were there for the taking as well. There's not a... If you go man for man in that squad, that Czech Republic squad's not better than the Scotland squad.
If the manager had the boys, we've qualified before we've even kicked a ball against Croatia.
Aye, you're right. Sorry.
The boys. Mm-hmm. If you had the boys in the first game, the tournament, for me, was lost in the first game. I think the writing was on the wall. Your first game, what else do you want? It's at Hampden. It's against Czech Republic, who are... Nae better than us, nae worse. It's a game where we could get them in, you know what I mean? And we don't give ourselves a chance. But we'll talk about it a wee bit later.
But I missed it last week, right? And I'm sure you did touch on it, but I was obviously then all 2 doors down, and I was on my lunch break when the teams got announced, and I felt just totally deflated as soon as that team was announced.
You said you're looking at the group chat, mate. It was a buzzkill, that lineup.
Absolute buzzkill. You're looking at the bench going, I'd rather see 70-80% of that bench starting than what was actually announced to play against the Czech Republic. So again, it just felt like same old. Here we go again. And I thought we turned a corner when they announced the squad. I legit thought when they announced the squad a month ago, I thought, right, he's gone for this now. You know what I mean?
I think, to be honest with you, I think it was a bit of pressure for the fans that got me named players like Turnbull and Gilmore in the squad.
I hope it wasn't, man, because... They did,
but what I'm saying is, if it wasn't for the fans clamouring for it, I don't think you would have.
Aye, possibly, mate. But anyway, it's done. We're out. And for the last time this tournament, to talk about our national football team, let's get our Euro correspondent. It is none other than Kian Toll. Where did it all go wrong? We're out. Croatia pumped us. Where did it all go wrong, Kian?
That's starting Turnbull.
Not starting Turnbull.
Yeah, okay.
It's how when a player like Billy Gilmore, right, who was so influential in the squad, goes out. Billy Gilmore is more of a defensive player, and he goes out. The perfect player to replace him is Turnbull, right? We didn't get a goal until that game when we were losing 1-0, right? Stephen O'Donnell played horribly again, right? We had, I think it was what, 11 shots, right? Croatia had 11 shots. They got 6 on target, we got 3 on target, right? We've just not got that clinical finisher, but neither have they. Mm-hmm. How can they score 3 goals in a situation like that when they know it's life or death? They're out, right? They're out or they're going through to the last 16, right? They know that they're getting knocked out, it'll be all over for them, but they don't have that clinical finisher and they're scoring 3 goals against a team like Scotland. It baffles me. It's so confusing how Scotland can turn up against England and then just a few days later, boom, we're losing 3-1 to Croatia.
So, Kian, you're saying O'Donnell was horrible against Scotland. Would you have started Patterson? Would you have started Turnbull?
I'd started Patterson.
What about up front? Would you have stuck with Dykes?
I'd have put Nisbet on.
Brilliant. I'd agree.
Where do we go for here? Do we change the manager?
I think we wait until the World Cup qualifiers.
Right.
We see how he does in the first few games. I know we've got Denmark. If he loses that, I think his job should be on the ropes. And we don't know. He's brought us so far. We can't just turn back and get rid of him.
Who are you going to support now that Scotland are out? Who are you rooting for?
Germany.
Right. There we go.
Are you watching Love Island on Monday?
Absolutely not.
Thank you, Kieran. It's been a pleasure. Here's to the next tournament, and hopefully the next time your dad can't make a podcast, you can just come and do it, and then that'll be you in here for good. Most and definitely. Can just leave him. Right. Cheers, Kieran. All the best, pal.
All the best, pal.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
Fuck the Euros, right? We're done. It's out. Love Island starts on Monday, so fuck you.
Yes,
right.
Come on.
Let's talk about club football.
By the way, JD Sports is your official stockist for the year this year.
Who went for Love Island?
Aye,
but they did a sell it, didn't they? I know, didn't they? They did a sell it, stockist, I know, didn't they?
Guys, we want to keep some of the guys. Let's stop the Love Island chaps, kidding on.
You're the biggest fucking culprit, Bob.
Aye,
you won't have me on any kind.
I know, but let's go.
I'm bigging up there. I've never seen an episode yet in my entire life.
That's class, mate.
Never. That's all shite. Anyway, Norwich City and Wolves want to sign 20-year-old Scotland midfielder Billy Gilmour on a season-long loan from Chelsea. Though, reports circulating today that I've seen Rangers could bid to re-sign him on a season loan. Should his request for a loan move be sanctioned? Grado, for him.
I don't know if he'll... If you'd said to me in January, I know that they probably did want him to go on loan. But because the new manager coming in, wanting to see, take his time with the team he's got, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get on loan. I don't. Do you think he will?
I don't think he will.
If he does, he's going to go to a Premier League team.
He's not going to Rangers.
Do you know where I see him? No. Do you know where I see him? To advance his career, now hear me out. I'd like to see him going to the Bundesliga.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because the German teams have brought through such tremendous youth for all other countries apart from themselves recently. Right? So see when you look at players like Sancho, Bellingham there, you've got all the young American boys, like Reina at Dortmund and stuff like that as well. Mm-hmm. Haaland as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I could see him fitting in either that league very, very well.
I totally agree with that. That's a great point, because you do look at Bellingham, Sancho. I totally agree with that, mate, and that probably would be a good move for him, 100%, aye.
What about a move to a team like Southampton?
Well, Simon, for that sort of player, for Billy Gilmour's sort of style of play, I would prefer to see him in a team that are a wee bit up against it, if you know mm-hmm. what I mean. Grado like a Southampton.
Anyway, we'll soon see. Hopefully, wherever he goes, he shines bright and he does brilliant. And then he goes back to Chelsea and becomes a regular, which no doubt I'm sure he can become. And
by the way, can I just say something about Bright?
Yes.
There's a cameraman the 2 doors down there now, right? And he's a mega Chelsea diehard. I'm talking, was it the Rangers friendly 2007? Came one of these guys that just goes everywhere. And they all love Billy Gilmour. Like, that's the fuck. He is like that. You're a fucking Billy Gilmour. Fucking Billy Gilmour. Can't we love him? We love him. So he's well liked on there.
I can understand that, because he fits the mould.
Right.
The way he plays, he's like.
He's like Makaleli.
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
Plays like Makaleli.
He's so good.
See, if it wasn't for Kante, he'd be in that Chelsea first team.
Aye, I was going. Mate, that's exactly what I was going to say there. When you talk about Makaleli, you think about Kante now, and that's probably the thing that's holding Gilmour back a bit, because Kante's like, he's fucking the favourite for the Ballon d'Or this year. Do you know what I mean?
He's won everything that's gone.
He's class, everyone. Man.
They win the Euros this year, he's won every tournament that he's ever played in.
Exactly. And Rangers striker Alfredo Morelos has been linked with a move away, and it seems that it could be available for a fee of around between 10 and 13 million. Porto are leading the charge for the 25-year-old signature. Which I think it might be time now that he does probably whatever we get for him, I think it's going to be the time he moves on now, I think.
Aye, but Bobby, you accepting 10 to 12 million? I would.
Fuck.
Exactly.
The fuck.
We can start talking once we
25.
I'd look at George Gooney's face, but realistic, I would say 18.
18, aye.
Oh, you'll not get 18 for him now. You would see this time last season, you would have got 18 for him when Leo came in. I think.
Listen to me. See if Celtic are still getting 5 million for Ryan Christie, there is a chance we can get 18 for Alfredo Morelos.
No. Anyway, did you see Ange Postecoglou at the training camp today?
I listened to his interview. I thought he came across extremely well.
He did come across well.
Toes buzzing now.
See if he can implement the type of football that he likes to play, and he can get the players to fit the positions. I think he could be a success.
Toes very fucking big.
It could be curtains for you.
The last few weeks, kid.
it could be curtains for you.
Oh man, is he right on board the Postecoglou train then, aye?
I've no idea who Postecoglou is, mate, but I tell you, but this Celtic manager looks all right.
Until Lange, Toll was never happy.
He's quite heavy, isn't he?
He looks like he can fight like fucking old, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, this is fighting, man. I'm saying he can eat like fuck, no fight.
Well...
But yeah, man, I don't want any fighting boys, right?
No, look, he looks all right, man.
There will be more football chat on the open line later, and I'm sure more Scotland chat. And we'll be playing for pies in the player profile playoff. And we welcome a man who joined Hibs from Rangers and has made his name at Motherwell, Sheffield United and Brighton. It is Jamie Murphy.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
So tell us about what you do in that sort of situation.
So, if you're involved in any sort of accident, guys, please contact G4 Claims. First, we can help you from the roadside. Believe it or not, Saturday night, I had someone phoning me at midnight. They had just been involved in a road accident. Their car was totally written off. It was mangled. It was a mess. And even with a few Proseccos in me and for seven number, after that car was recovered from the scene and took to a safe place of free storage so that car was out of harm's way and the people were took safely home by the recovery operators. So that's...
You take that heat set out of me?
Say that again?
Do you take that heat set out of me?
Absolutely.
sitting in vodka, 2 seconds, pal. Anyway.
You know what I mean?
I'm not getting my bingo dab out so I can take the details of the claim.
That's fucking brilliant. My bingo dab.
Yes, if you've been involved in any sort of accident, no matter what day, what night, what time, phone G4 Claims first. We can help you. You won't get your insurance at that time. I guarantee you, you'll always get us. So we'll make sure that your car's taken away to a place of free storage and it's safe. We can then get you a like-for-like replacement hired vehicle whilst your car's off the road. So if you drive a BMW, you'll get a BMW. You drive a Corsa, you'll get a Corsa. We always suit your needs. It's something compatible to what you already drive. If you were injured from the accident, we can set you up with your personal injury whiplash compensation. We do not take a percentage from you. Your claim is yours, so you get all your money. All right? And if you are involved in any sort of accident, you know what to do. Pick up the phone. It's not in fault claims. They're made easy.
It's a football daft open line, the open line where, of course, anything goes. Was Graeme Souness right? Are Scotland a team of the past? Who've been the surprise package in the Euros for you guys?
Hungary.
Hungary.
Well, not really. I think Denmark are going to go far. I really think the surprise package could be Denmark, aye.
I think the Dutch a bit, I didn't think they'd be as good as they were, but we'll wait and see until when they come up against.
I hope they win it. I got them in the fucking sweep.
Right, well, there we go. And Gradle, this one's for you. Who's your favourite Love Island contestant? Have you seen all the ones going into the house?
Do you mean my favourite Love Island contestant of all time?
No, I'm talking about the ones that are going into the house next.
Well, I only know one. Is it Lassie called Shannon Singh? She's for Scotland.
Yes.
Aye, well, we're rooting for her.
Fife. I hope she speaks with that Fife accent. That'll be brilliant in Love Island.
Hey, that's going to be on the radio talking it for the next 6 weeks, sort it, isn't it, John?
I know.
We'll talk about it later, man.
We'll talk about it later.
Anyway, that is our football daft experts there. And we want to get you on every week. And the first caller we're going to go to is a guy you guys have worked with. It's Jerry Taylor.
Chris Taylor. Hello there.
What's happening?
Oh, Chrissy boy!
What's happening?
What are you saying to you?
I'll tell you something, I was shite myself coming on here.
Well, it's fucking Billy Mitchell.
Fuck. Fuck your dick. First off, right, before we even start, I've got three congratulations to give. So, Grado.
One to the Rangers.
Four then, you cunt. Right. Grado, congratulations on being a feather, big man.
Cheers, big man. Cheers, my man. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Oi, congratulations on coming up 20 years, River City.
Cheers, mate. Thank you, mate.
Chris, congratulations for putting up with the two pricks for the season. I don't know how you fucking done it. Honestly, man. I worked with them for not even 2 months, right? And they broke me. And we won the league that fucking year. So, honestly, mate, I've
Do you remember the day Jermaine Defoe saying, you were slamming doors?
I've never snapped like that before, and I don't know what
Some of the punters in the stalls had to leave the show because they were scared.
Mate, I'll never forget. You beat us 1-0, and I was on the stage, and I just turned around you two in your fucking dresses, giving me the fingers at the side of the stage. Punching me in the boys when I came off stage.
Brilliant.
I said, fair play to you. I gave it out, and I'll take it.
You gave it up, but you can't take it back.
That's what I take it now. Listen, congratulations to you. He's done
Chris,
well.
we're running a wee bit short of time here, mate. So
see you later, then.
My name move it on.
well done, Tees. The podcast have been brilliant, Trips. Honestly,
thanks very much.
You come on it a couple of years ago, did you know?
You're on episode 98 now, man.
Yeah. And Chris, you were on, and then talking about a show which was going to happen, and then COVID happened, and now, however, it's back, isn't it?
It's back, so it's Billy and Tim 2. Singing I'm Not a Billy, he's a Tim 2, and we're hitting the Armadillo on the 3rd of September this year. So we're at half capacity now. There's a few tickets left, but that should go to full capacity in the next month or so, providing that we don't get any more fucking lockdowns or like strain 15 of this virus or whatever. But it's all looking good for it. So starting rehearsals in a month. A month and a half, good to go. So, but it was mad. We're only a few weeks away from doing it. I was like, everything was there. I just filmed Scott Squad with you, Chris, as well, and Grado. Right. We just done that, and then I think it was 2 days before it.
That's like, right.
I was on the bus, and that was the first time that you can't shake hands. Can't you shake hands?
Right.
So, where do you get the tickets and stuff like that then?
You get the tickets on Ticketmaster. Singing I'm Not a Billy, he's a Tim 2. They deal with all that. If you've already bought a ticket in the past, it'll transfer over already to that date. You don't need to worry about that unless you've asked for a refund. If you've asked for a refund, you get your money back. If you've no, it automatically transfers right through.
Who's playing Billy and Tim?
Well, it was meant to be either you or Stevie, but...
That's right. I was thinking that. Did we know what we were going to do? We know?
I was wanting either you two, but... Obviously, I couldn't pay you enough at first, and then you were busy. Stevie, you were away doing your Benny Lynch stuff.
That's right, mate.
You were away doing every show on Scottish fucking TV, I think, at that point. We couldn't get you. But actually, and I'm not even kidding, Chris, I nearly asked you about playing it.
What, being the Rangers fan?
Aye.
I don't mean the Rangers fan, no bother. Honestly, it's not called acting for fuck all, know what I mean, lads?
Exactly. But that was the thing. See, try to find someone... to cast, because we were originally going to go with Darren Connell, but schedule wise he couldn't do it. But he's a Celtic fan. Aye. See the heat you get off that. It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. Aye. They don't want to see. They want to see a Tim play a Tim. They want to see a Billy play a Billy. Simple as.
So, I'm a great believer with that show, especially the way Des has written it. I do believe you need to be
the punter see through it, Bob.
They do. And I think the way it's written, and I've seen it so many times, and the way it's written, you've got to have the passion for that team. I think if you go there, unless you're no into football, maybe, but I even think at that point, if you're no into football, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb a wee bit as well, because I think it is one of these shows you need to...
So, tell me this passion. One. You had to get a real Celtic fan to play a Celtic fan.
Aye.
You had to get a real Rangers fan to get a play a real Rangers fan.
Aye.
You have to get a real ghost to play the ghost.
Neil was the palest cunt I could find.
Pale, the guy's see through, mate.
He's brilliant. Aye, so that's, we've got Neil Bratchpiece playing the ghost. Anyone that doesn't know him, he writes for the, what's that show, the news one, Chris?
Breaking the news.
He's also famous as the wee man.
Exactly. Yeah. And you've also helped his career with Julie Wayne's.
Aye, tell me about it. Guy's been dining out in my talent for the last 5 years.
Aye. He's absolutely brilliant in the role. Absolutely amazing. But he's about, if you're playing that character, it's not just, they can see through it, but there's a lot of ad-libbing happens, as you know, and then the script...
That's amazing. How did you manage to get it so that they could see through him? He's a real ghost then.
The real ghost, mate. Real ghost. So it's all looking good for it. Hopefully we'll be able to do it. We'll chuck you some comps. The lads will come along and see it.
100%, mate.
No, but just to say, man, like, obviously, great to see theatres opening again. Great to see shows happening. The country needs it.
Good on you, mate. And
the creative industry has been hit really hard, but to see he's getting a show off the ground and stuff, brilliant, mate, honestly.
Right, cheers for getting on, lads.
Right, all the best, mate. Take care, pal. All the best, pal.
All right, let's move on to our next caller. It is Joe, and he is in a band called Dictator, who have done a Scotland song. So we're a wee bit late to the party on it, but he's going to be coming on and tell us all about it anyway.
Eddie's on. What's happening, Joe?
All right, boys. How's you, by the way?
Hi.
Unbelievable. I'm glad you're on, man. I'm a big time listener. Like,
really?
Aye, like, I've been thinking about phoning in for a while, and then they said, aye, there's a chance you can, like, go on with the band and that. I'm like, no chance. Yeah, I can't even believe this, man.
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant.
Hey, how do you go on with the name Murty?
Do you know, son, no one ever cared about that before until Graham Murty.
Oh, God, old Murty, man.
Aye, no relation, but I told people I was, but I'm a Celtic supporter, so so was he.
Apparently. So was he, that's what I was going to say, mate. So
I never knew that. Relation. I never knew that.
I used to tell people.
I think he was doing handstands on the side of the pitch, you know that?
I used to tell people he used to come around at Christmas and that, say prayers and that before we ate.
Say prayers.
So, mate, you're in a band then, you've written a song, like a Scotland song. Am I right?
I can't really say we've written it. To be honest, it was three Scotland songs that we've kind of just mashed up together and put in our own style. You know what I mean?
You got it there? You got it plays it on that?
Where can we hear this song?
I might hear it now.
I've got it.
Talk us through the three songs and how you put them together then, Joe.
We're coming home. That one.
Nah, I know that. We'll be coming, but is that what you're talking
about?
That's a different one.
You just tried to do the fucking run rig one, I think.
Nah. Oh, we're coming home.
The man end of weddings, Gredo.
Aye, man. That's John's favourite song, man.
Loch Lomond, that is a belter. It's a belter. So, Joe, what are the three songs? If it's not Loch Lomond, what have you put in the mix?
Right, so it's We'll Be Coming. Had to get that in there. The boy that was George Bowie. What's the one?
Bits and who's that? Who's that?
Speaking Boogie.
No.
Aye. So it was a bit and pieces tune we kind of just used to play in the background while singing We'll Be Coming. And then is there some chant the Tartan Army Day when they're like,
I want to hear this,
mate. Can you not put it on your phone and then play it? I want to hear it. You can't just come on and go, it sounds like this.
The band's called the Dictators, aye?
Yes, the Dictator. Dictator.
What's the name? Right, Dictator.
On Spotify?
Aye.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. Dictator.
Dictators. Who did you name that after? Hitler?
We'll be coming.
I tell you what, with Joe's permission,
I've got it.
We'll play it right now on Football Daft.
We'll be coming. We'll be coming. We'll be coming down the road. When you hear the noise of a Tartan Army, boys, we'll be coming down the road. We'll be coming. We'll be coming. We'll be coming down the road. When you hear the noise of a Tartan Army, boys, we'll be coming down the road. We'll be coming, we'll be coming, we'll be coming down the road. When you hear the noise of the Tartan Army, boys, we'll be coming down. Thank you.
Sounds like,
that's quite
pure chilled,
man. I like that.
I know. Nice. Do you know what? It sounds like a gangster movie song or something, doesn't it?
Aye, that's cool, man. I like
up,
it. I like
I'm
it.
Up for it.
Fantastic.
I'm buying it. I'm into that. I'm into it. See, I'm going after this the night. I need to drive to Wishaw. See, when I'm in my motor and I'm driving, that's the first song I'm listening to, mate.
Brilliant. Thank Joe, you, man. So thank
much.
You.
You're the best, pal. Joe, honestly, thanks very much, mate.
That's it for the open line this week. If you want to get on next week, sign up to Patreon, patreon.com/footballdaft. Look out for us on our Twitter.
Football Daft's big question.
Right, Grado is here with his Scotland top on that came just after Scotland get put out of the Euros after a fairly lacklustre display against Croatia. When destiny was in our own hands, Graeme Souness said Scotland are a team of the past, but the nation has been reunited with its love of international football again. But what is the next step? That's the question we are asking this week. Boys, what is the next step?
World Cup.
New manager.
Aye. Mate, usually you're on the fence, man. You're right in the other day, man.
Oh, listen, by the way, I think he's bang on. It definitely has brought us all together. It's what we've needed for years and years and years. Good to see all the young folk getting right in about it. Everybody just coming together, celebrating and going for the one team. It did bring us all together, but I just find it very, very frustrating because we can go on about having elite players and all this now, and it's the future, but I just don't see it with Steve Clarke, and I'm not just saying that, and it's coming, I can see it on Twitter already. The soonest
it's like having a Ferrari and giving your granny the keys.
Well, there you go.
You know what I mean? That's what I think at times.
We've got the means to play more expansive, better football. Mm-hmm. But we're stuck 20 years ago playing this defensive game that Scotland are renowned for now. You know, like, have a go, man. Have a fucking go.
Do you know what I was sitting thinking last night? All right, they ended up in the same situation we've ended up in the route. But see, Hungary, they had a fucking go, man.
They had a go.
I watched Hungary against France. Mm-hmm. Played well. Last night, within a whisker of going through, Germans are on the cusp of being eliminated. Even the first game was 3-0 against Portugal. It was never a 3-0 game, but you look at our games, I'm sick and tired of saying it. Czech Republic, we set up to defend, fair the front. We set up to no lose the game, and the Czechs just fucking, you know what I mean? That's where this tournament was fucked for us.
Another thing, I think I pointed out to you, boys, on the group chat. I was watching the interview before the game against Croatia, and Steve Clarke says, I've never been in this situation where both teams need to win to qualify. And my first thought was, have you never played in the Scottish Cup or the fucking League Cup
or the FA Cup?
That's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's a knockout game. That's all that was the other night, was a knockout game. Now, I'm a fan of Steve Clarke. I think he's done really well for the country and for Scotland international team, but you know, like he says, he's kind of stuck in the past when it comes to his tactics. It's time to maybe do we twist? Who do we go for? But that's the question.
I really don't know. I don't know who's there that could.
Chris.
What?
Graeme Souness. Nah, I'm not being serious. But John, I want to know what John thinks, because you kept quiet in the football half chat. I didn't get to hear what you thought about.
One thing you said.
Fucking lot of shite. I was at the game. Now, the one thing I would say is I'm not a fan of like this that's been adopted by teams like Rangers, Premiership teams. This putting two defenders in the box, playing out through the defenders. Because for me, I don't think it just leads to all sorts of problems. So I had no issue with the ball going up to Dykes and Shea Adams because it came off a couple of times, right? So I had no issue with that. But I get Steve Clarke's always been a negative manager, hasn't he? When he was at Kilmarnock, I mean, he did really, really well with what he had. But I think what we've got with Scotland at the moment, we've got some very good players in there. We've got some very average players as well. I mean, I think Dykes, O'Donnell, they're not international level. No. They're not players that should
McKenna.
Be McKenna, yeah. But so I think it's time. It's time to twist. I wouldn't change the manager, but I just think he needs to look
at. Do you change then, John? Because he's not going to change his way of playing. His philosophy's always been the same, like you said. So if you don't change a manager, get into the World Cup qualifiers, you're going to be stuck with the same kind of setup.
And John, you're seeing yourself. I've got some average players. You just mentioned O'Donnell, who, in my opinion, is an average player, but you had a player that looked at, in that 7 minutes that he played, Nathan Patterson, he looked 10 times the player.
I thought he looked great when he
and that's a manager.
Yeah. But I mean, he needs to have a think about just how he plays the game. And Scott, you know, because like you say, the players that he's got playing under them, like your Tierney's, your McGinn's, Robertson, they're used to playing in that way, so it's having a bit more faith in your players, and you just hope he realises that, you know.
But you hope he realises that he only gets the chances every so often. It's not as if they're playing every week.
You can't sack him. Do you know what? Realistically, I don't think
he's not getting sacked. There's no point in debating about it. There's absolutely no way.
But
you're probably right. If he would only change his ways, then I'd be happy with that, because
he learned from Mourinho. He learned under Mourinho, didn't he?
The weird thing is, right, the way I look at it, they three games, right, the one game we had Billy Gilmour, right, he clearly gave the team a lift. What is Billy, 20?
Was he 21 now? No, 20.
I think he's
20.
Only 19, is he not?
No, he's 20.
He's 18.
A 20-year-old gave the team a lift. We get our only point in the tournament. He didn't play the boy in the first game, and obviously couldn't because of COVID. That's a harsh reality, man. A 20-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
No more wouldn't have made a difference in that game against Croatia.
I would have, because he would have put fucking Modric at a peak.
I think he would have had the legs to maybe stay with Modric a bit.
That display for Modric was unbelievable. That's the problem. We don't have a player like that. We've got really good players, Tierney, Robertson, immediately.
You don't need to have a player like that, though. You only need to have somebody that can stop
him.
A player like that. Mm. That's a thing, John, do you know what I mean? But I don't know, man.
Like, see, the thing is, see the young boy Phillips. Mm-hmm. See, in England's first game, he was oyer. Modric's like a rash. All he did was just foley him about, just snuffed him out.
That's a job that Gilmour would have done.
That's what I'm trying to say. Aye, exactly.
And I'll tell you what, I think it's having what I've seen of them, I think Billy Gilmour's every bit as good a player as Calvin Phillips. Don't get me wrong, I think Calvin Phillips has got a wee bit more experience. Obviously, he's played near enough every game.
Aye, exactly. He's had a full season in the Premier League, you know what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
Been playing. But Gilmour, I think, the other night, is a player that would have thrived on that by Modric. But that's the sad kind of reality where we're at. We're relying on a young guy who hasn't played many first-team games for Chelsea. He's in and out of the team, but he's probably our best player.
Aye, but then the positives is he's a young... That, you can take that as a positive hanging and the negative, because that's a team that we build. That's a guy that we build a team in over the next decade.
What's the listeners' opinions on Scotland? Right, Stephen has got in touch. He says there's six players that must be in the team at all times when fit: Robertson, Tierney, McTominay, McGregor, Gilmour, and Griffiths.
Griffiths.
Build a team around that. Also need to look at Liam Henderson and Ryan Gold. It's okay to get guys from Championship in England, but not in Italy. Lee Griffiths.
Paul, what do you think?
Point, by the way. I can actually see his point. I think Lee Griffiths offers something that no other Scottish striker has. He can shoot for distance. He's deadly in the box as well.
And wait. No, but do you know what?
Wait, what he's wanting me to wait for?
But the thing is with Griffiths, but it's not as if it's like they're still tick. Like we know he can do it. He can back the goals. I think he's had a bad season, so.
Aye, and you know what? I'm a big advocate of saying play players on form, and Griffiths hasn't been on form. So for me to say that he should be in there would be hypocritical, but I can see the point that Stephen's trying to make. Liam says, a new manager, feel like Clark is looking for more good performances than actual results. I would rather win a game ugly than not win at all.
Hmm.
He says, would he change in that team? I'd say it may sound crazy given the results, but over the piece, all of them played well. It was a toothless attack they'd done us. We had the chances to take something from all those games, perhaps even get wins. But if you don't score, you don't win. But, exactly the same question there.
Exactly. Gavin says, get rid of Clark and bring Lars Lagerbäck in. All he knows is international football and took Sweden to multiple major championships and took Iceland to the quarters in 2016. One bad German doesn't mean we have to look at Scottish managers forever. Well, that's true.
I know, but see anybody that played under Bertie Vokes, they loved it.
Who did we have on a few weeks ago and they said they loved, he loved playing under him?
Jackie McNamara, I missed that.
Andy says, pure letdown with this negative tactics. I was so embarrassed. The amount of times the keeper launched it up to no person. A wee boy Sunday league football was far superior to watch.
Hmm.
Is it me? James says, do we want to comment on Andy's comment there?
I understand what he's saying there, but he wasn't launching it up to nobody. He was launching it up to Dykes and Adams. It just so happened.
Which is just as much.
But Adams was getting more results than Dykes. Hmm. Do you know what? I need to say this, you know. I think London Dykes has made an international career out of one good game against Celtic.
He had a couple of good games against
Tuesday, didn't
he?
What do you think,
though? Am I totally disconnected to
who? I said London Dykes. I think he's made an international career you're right, Stevie, a couple of decent games against Christopher Julian.
I remember he played against us, Livingston played us at Ibrox, and it was one of the toughest games. Katic got subbed, and he absolutely ragdolled Katic. And I have, to be honest, I was a big fan of Dykes. I still think he's decent at times, but I think when you get to that, a lot of stuff breaks down with him. See, when it comes to his feet, a lot breaks down. Mm. He's technically very, very average, but
he's a perfect sort of player for a certain system.
Yes.
You know me, right? You know, I don't watch outside the Rangers, man. You know, see me watching too many games. So my opinion, Disney, is not as valid as others, but when the likes of Lyndon Dykes, when I see somebody like him playing for Scotland, to me it's just like another our limo. Do you know what I mean?
Aye,
does that make sense? John, look.
What?
I don't know about that, man.
Who did you do that? You went like that.
No, I agree. No, absolutely. I agree with you.
You're right.
Shea Adams is you see the class that Shea Adams has, in terms of dropping into space, finding space, unbelievable. And he seems to have won more in the air against Croatia than Dykes did.
I agree.
Stephen
has got in touch. He says Scotland needs to stop accepting failure, which is what that was. 1 point from 9 with 2 games at home and only 1 goal in 3 games is not acceptable, especially when it's the easiest it's ever been to get through. They got in by the back door and were kicked straight back out. Scotland fans and the SFA have to demand success or they will never achieve anything. Only 2 teams in Scotland demand success, and that's the only 2 teams that regularly get success. Aberdeen used to, and now they accept mediocrity. The manager had a shocker of a tournament. He dined out on the England game, but they had the better chances and were the better team, despite what some fans would have you believe. What needs to change? Average players like Dykes and O'Donnell out and start demanding more.
I don't think I've ever agreed with a comment on Football Daft as much as that guy just said.
By the way, he's articulated it extremely well.
That is That is bang on, Stephen. Stephen, there's a T-shirt in the mail.
And
don't say that, for fuck's sake.
For legal reasons, I just want to say, Stephen, there's not a T-shirt in the mail.
Birchie says new manager, maybe Callum Davidson. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, for fuck.
Hold on! We've seen all the fucking manager of the year!
Does that make him an international manager? Why don't we try and get Come
on!
Why don't we
I mean, you just argued about it for the last 6 months that he was the fucking manager of the year. Who you're giving him, for fuck's sake?
Aye, come on.
You've been fun out.
Just because you've had a good season doesn't make you fucking Scotland manager.
Oh, aye.
Hey, new manager,
so
maybe
did Steve
Callum Davidson.
Did he become a Scotland manager?
He had two good seasons. he beat the Rangers, that's all you need to do. So did Callum Davidson, right enough. Right, so more attacking-minded, someone more attacking-minded, bringing through youth and player best players. For example, Patterson, Gilmore, Ferguson, Turnbull, McCrory twins, and maybe ask the English FA if James Tavernier can play for Scotland.
Craig, do you want his comment on that, boys?
Nah.
How can you play Patterson and Tavernier?
Rangers, we might start doing it soon. You'll see soon.
Gold into the squad, says Craig. Team versus England to be the team that plays the World Cup qualifiers, but Patterson instead of... Sorry, my wee hinks come up. Instead of SOD... Stephen O'Donnell. O'Donnell. I mean, when you're writing into his troops, Gonnie just put in his full fucking name. S-O-D. Come on to fuck. If Griffiths gets back playing, then I'd have him in the squad over Nisbet.
Bedo, right. I'm amazed that you knew that WC stood for World Cup.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Find them on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at G4 Claims Limited.
It's Player Profile Playoff with piesports.com, bringing you the taste of Scottish football right across the summer for the Euros. Get onto their website, piesports.com. You can check out one of the several packages you do there. They're doing lots of different stuff for the Euros. Got curry pies on there, chilli pies, scotch pies, cheesy pies, macaroni pies. The full lot. So get on there now and you can order your pies or you can give them a call, 0141 739 9999. They'll deliver pies free of charge to a bunch of postcodes across Scotland, but every week on Football Daft we like to challenge one of the listeners to come on and play against one of the boys for the pies. So this week it's Craig. How you doing, Craig?
Good, thanks. Yourselves?
Welcome on. You're going to play one of the boys to win these pies. Do you know how it works, Craig?
Yep.
So, Craig, thanks for coming on. You know how the game works. Basically, I'm going to read out some players. You jump in when you think you know the player with a buzzer. What's your buzzer going to be, Craig?
Well, after Scott McKenna's 30-second tackle when he came on the other night, it'll be, fuck's sake, McKenna.
I get everybody said that. So yeah, you're going to play one of the boys. It's going to, since Scott, we did Scotland players last week, but since they're now out, we've just picked some Euro 2020 players for you to try and guess this week. So what we're going to do is we're going to pull out one of the boys for you to play. Just getting names in the hat here. And you are going to be playing Gredo.
Fuck off, man.
So,
hey, Craig.
Very easy. Gredo's had a couple of beers today, Craig. So
oh, wouldn't they have guessed?
9% lager he's been drinking.
What's your buzzer, Gredo?
Half a Glen. Half a Glen. Half a Gem. No, half a Glen.
Is that what you're drinking?
Aye, it's not fucking 9%, it says in Google.
Right, okay. So, players from the tournament, Gredo, you've been watching the tournament.
This tournament?
Yes, aye. This tournament.
Oh, come on, man.
Right. First player out then, boys. This striker is currently on loan to Juve from Atletico Madrid. Although
Fuck's sake, McKenna.
Craig.
Alvaro Morata.
Correct. 1-0. Here we go. Next player out. Despite never having scored at international level before, this Dutch defender has managed 2 goals in 3 games in the tournament.
Fuck's sake, McKenna.
Greg.
I can't even his first name, but Dumfries.
Correct, I'll give you that.
On the best, Craig! Well done!
The easiest prize you've ever won in your life, Craig.
There you go. Well done, Craig. Congratulations. Absolute whitewash. Pop us your address, and if you want to play for Pies on the player profile playoff next week, look out for our notifications on Twitter and Facebook.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Get them now at notatfaultclaims.com.
John.
Yes.
That there is a lovely shot.
Thank you very much.
You know what? I was looking at it there and I thought to myself, this is the first time I've ever seen John. He's not been wearing a polo shirt or a full cut top.
Aye. Where did you get that, talk then? That shot, John? Where did you get it?
Do you know what? It was part of my delivery from Stitch Fix a couple of months ago. It's actually their own label.
Their own brand?
A label called A-Frame, which is part of Stitch Fix. And you get, like, as well as like their own label stuff, you get like top labels like Superdry, Penguin, Peter Ware, Jack Jones, all that sort of stuff that you get in Stitch Fix. And you get a wee box like every couple of months and you set your price and you go, oh, and just clothes get delivered to your door. Anything you like, you take. Anything you don't like, you send back. And like a designer chooses out outfits for you every couple of months or however long you want. You could get it every week, you could get it every couple of weeks, you get every month, every couple of months. It's great.
See, risk, yeah, you too. No, I mean, deliveries, wee boxes of clothes, not that.
Private shopper, a designer.
So, we are all ready to go back outside and go to pubs and maybe no clubs. We're a bit too old for that jazz now, aren't we, boys? Not
too old for that game.
But your wardrobe says otherwise. So, you can get some much needed style updates with the help of Stitch Fix. Shopping for clothes, guys, let's not beat about the bush. It can be a bit daunting at times, especially guys your height, Tola. Know what I mean?
It's fucking brutal, mate.
Aye, like you never know if things will fit, returns are difficult, and you don't even know which store to start with. This season, though, let Stitch Fix do all the hard work for you. You ever fancied trying something new, Tola?
All the time, man. All the time.
You would have never picked yourself. Well, now that is possible. In fact, it's the reason why so many people are choosing and loving, like John here, Stitch Fix. Stitch Fix is an online personal styling company that makes getting the clothes you love effortless. It's a completely different way to shop that's all about you every time. To get started, go to stitchfix.co.uk/daft to set up your profile and they'll deliver great looks personalised just for you and your colours, styles and budget. You pay a £10 styling fee for each fix, which is credited towards anything you keep. Schedule at any time, there's no subscription required, plus shipping, returns and exchanges are easy and free. Stitch Fix does the hard work for you, making great style effortless for men and women. So, what are you waiting for? Get started today at stitchfix.co.uk/daft and you'll get 20% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.co.uk/daft for 20% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.co.uk/daft.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Been involved in a road traffic accident? Call them now on 01698 767 172.
Right, let's welcome a man who's just moved across the M8 to Hibs after a spell at Boyhood Heroes Rangers. With spells down south at Brighton and Sheffield United, he has 2 caps for Scotland. It is none other than Jamie Murphy. Jamie, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Yes.
Nice one, Jamie.
Yes.
Come on, Chris, clap for Jamie.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, man.
On the Rangers.
Come on.
John, come on. John.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on, Jamie Murphy.
Would you make you Scotland then, Jamie, at the Euros?
It was good to watch. That's the thing. You know, how long has it been since, obviously, we watched them there?
Aye.
It was good for me. My girls, they sat and watched the full game, stuff like that. So, it was good that way. Just disappointed to quit. But, I mean, Modric especially, he was a joke the other night.
Aye. Tremendous.
Different class. Good.
Tremendous player.
Yeah, as well.
You wouldn't think he'd won the Ballon d'Or a couple of years ago, know what I mean?
and he'll be good enough for that, and then Modric turns up, makes it worse.
Aye, it's like when you, I don't know, you see like the first couple of games, and I don't know if like Croatia probably one of the worst teams we could have possibly had, because you're lured into a wee bit of false sense of security. I think they're not the team they were that made the World Cup in 2018, but then after half an hour the other night, you're just chasing shadows watching them, you know what I mean?
Aye. That's the thing, like if you got a, I don't know, if you were playing England last game, people were like, oh, we maybe no win, it's a tough game or whatever. Because it's Croatia, people think, oh, we can win, they're not that good.
We had never lost to them before.
Aye.
Right, five games or something, is it? We played.
So there was obviously a chance, and that's how it was disappointing, obviously, to go out. But
you know what? It's good that you're talking about it. How many is it? You got two wee lassies, Jamie?
I've got two wee girls, two wee boys.
Oh, do you? Four? Jesus, there you go. But that's cool to hear, isn't it? Because I think quite a lot of families all over the country kind of embraced it. You know, go to Scotland taps, everybody supporting it, watching the football. You might not usually watch football, but because it was Scotland, I felt it's been a long time coming that everybody has been together and watching Scotland. It's been good for the country, hasn't it?
Ah, exactly. Like, my little girls now, they want to go. I said, there's a women's Scotland football team, like, oh, and they're all excited. They want to go and see them. And
brilliant.
These kids have never seen.
The women's game's definitely coming on a fair bit for recent times, obviously. I mean, like, Celtic have just qualified for the Champions League and stuff. It was a big battle for the league this season. So the interest's definitely getting higher in it. So
yeah, maybe it'd have been better for them this year, though.
Aye, maybe.
Sorry, mate.
Fucking walked into that one, Dan.
Aye, mate, I'm surprised that you're there, mate. I'm surprised that it's not like you.
But equally, I was still quite gutted because Rangers were the Rangers ladies, they were tapping a leg for the majority of the season, were they not? And they kind of, in the last couple of weeks, man, they messed up. And I was gutted.
Finished up, didn't they?
Aye, aye.
No, Rangers put a lot of money in it.
Yep. And I think quite a lot of their best players are away this summer as well.
I've seen that.
But Jamie, if you're looking at Scotland there, mate, what would you have changed with the team?
Don't say the manager. You're not allowed to say the manager.
What on Steve Clark sitting here? what could you have done? Maybe the first game, maybe go for it a wee bit more. But then it's the first game, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? That was a big one. If we'd won the first game, you get a big advantage. Obviously, you get 4 points.
Aye, but if you win the first game, then the second game against England's maybe a different story altogether, because he maybe doesn't play the same team. You know what I mean? So it's all ifs and buts and maybes, but I think we would have preferred to have seen him being a wee bit more positive anyway.
Aye, maybe just that. Especially, well, what did we went one up front the first game, really, didn't we? Chris and Adams, the next couple. Obviously, she's a really good player. I played with him when I was younger, and he was younger, so always looking at him.
He's classy, is he? He looks, don't know, he just looks a wee bit a level above at times, doesn't he? He does, aye. He looks really good. Great touch.
Ball sticks to him as well. When the ball goes out of park, it sticks to him.
He came in when he was 18. We were at Sheffield United at the time, and he was playing with like Ilkeston Town or something like that. Like, Conference North or South or whatever it was, and he came in and straight away he knew like he's a good player here, and he quickly got in the team and started playing and obviously went on from there.
Is it good being at Hibs?
Everything apart from the travel is on me at the minute, but
oh really? Do you have any travel?
I'm about an hour and 20.
Well, that's not too bad, isn't it?
Do you still stay on about Motherwell way, Jamie?
No, I'm Bearsden.
Bearsden.
I grew up in Yoker.
Did you?
That must be a bit of a trek. That adds a couple hours on your day anyway.
So, Jamie, obviously thought about you're at Hibs now, but when the chance came round to sign in for Rangers, was it basically a no-brainer for you?
Aye, it was, aye. Especially for me, my dad. Obviously, my dad was a big season ticket holder and followed him all his life, so it was a big moment when it came around. But like, I was down south, I was at Brighton at the time, and I could have went to Bristol City, and I remember speaking to Glenn Murray about it down there, and I was like, I've got Bristol City and Rangers, and he was like, ah, no brainer, surely you're going to Bristol City.
Really?
And I was like, nah, it's a no brainer the other way. I was like, why? It's just down there, they just don't look like that at all. But like, people like Connor, obviously Connor was at Brighton. you quickly learn. It's like it's a different case up here.
So how long did you play with Connor before you played with each other at Rangers?
2 years.
Maybe. 2 years. So you and if you kind of always saw that because we done the teammates for were Patreon and you said that it was Moniz, but I'm taking it that by Moniz is he a bit of a leader? Was he a bit of a leader even doing it at Brighton as well? Was he always kind of showing that?
Was he not quite ill down at Brighton at one point? Did he not?
I had a heart operation. Did he not?
He had an ECG and then something was wrong and he had to go fix it and stuff. So he never really he played one season down there and then the next season he signed another centre half and he's always got that leadership bit about him, do you know what I mean? And then you look at him last year, he was arguably one of the best players in the league last year, wasn't he? So
I've always all season I was saying he was my player of the year. He definitely was. I think just his consistency levels for a guy for what he's went through, like you're saying, not to miss a minute of football and the defensive record we had last season, it's built on him and McGregor, I think. But for me, Goldson, it's all about opinions, really. I mean, you could have picked McGregor, Tav.
There's a
whatever,
lot of players that you could have picked this season for Rangers, to be honest.
For me, it was Goldson, but definitely.
Yeah, he's got that in him. He's definitely, when the time comes for him to leave, whenever it is, he'll definitely go on and a good player down south.
Jamie, tell me about the day that you did sign for Rangers, because I love hearing stuff like that. I remember the day you signed, man. I followed you and DM'd you and all that, and it was a buzz. You messaged me back and I was like, yes man, this guy's he's my favourite player. What was it like the day? Did you get Tina Rune, Ibrox, Murray Park? Tell us about the day. Did you go with your old man?
My old man was there, but it was an up and down experience. It wasn't all good. It was like, so we flew up on the Thursday night. Went and met the doctor, got a bit of the medical, had to wait till the Friday to go get some scans and stuff. Everything was fine. Got to the Friday night, I was sitting in Murray Park and I got a phone call for a guy at Brighton saying he was off, need to come back down.
Oof.
And I was like, what are you talking about? He says, somebody's phoned and said Rangers have not got the money for this and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, hold on a minute. I was like, hey, you're expected back down on Monday. And I said to him on the phone, I says, there is not a chance I'm coming back down.
What?
On Monday. There is no way I'm coming back down. Do whatever you've got to do to sort it, because I'm not coming back. And I never hung up the phone. Obviously, conversation ended. And then the Brighton captain at the time, the boy Bruno, I was speaking about, he gave me a phone, what's happening this? They've said it's off, but like I don't know what's going on. So he spoke to them. So I went home that Friday night thinking that it was off. Back in the house, just like obviously I said I wasn't going back down, but I was always going to.
Aye, of course.
But this is after you've been shown around Ibrox and stuff.
After it was just Murray Park.
Right.
We were supposed to leave for America on the Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, you can't go. America on the Friday night, like, so I went home.
They flew. Is that how they couldn't afford you because they paid for everybody to get a flight to America?
Maybe. So I went home and my agent stayed at my house and we're trying to figure out a way to do it all day Saturday.
Where did he sleep?
Couch.
Right.
Oh, shit.
That's just.
I think Jamie's got a one bedroom flat.
Well, I know how that's.
Very random outburst of questions there, Graham.
On the Saturday night, at 8 o'clock, we got a phone call saying, look, they're going to do a loan to a buy. Because originally it was supposed to just be a transfer. So they said they'll accept a loan to a buy. If the money comes in by a certain date, it's fine. So we went to Ibrox at like 10 o'clock at night, signed there. That's how, if you see on my phone, I put the pictures on, it's like...
It's night time.
That's right.
In the morning, I'm standing there with my dad getting the picture. But then I flew out to America on the Sunday morning myself. That was fun. But
I'm trying to think. The trip to America, did Gerard never know? I'm trying to think.
No, it was Murty.
It was Graham Murty. It's when we played some smashing football. We won the Florida Cup.
Oh, wait. You signed in the January, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's right, right. I was thought that you signed in the summer. Right.
So,
right,
Jamie, when all that's happening, obviously, like we're talking about Murty's there and stuff, and there is a lot of uncertainty around the club, who the next manager's going to be. Is there anybody at Rangers when all this is happening going, don't worry, this will be all right?
No.
No? Wow, man. That stressed me out.
Obviously, the whole thing happened with Kenny and Lee and Murty, and then he's left, and then Jimmy Nicol took over the last couple of games. But in the meantime, I've got people like Scott Arfield phoning me. He says, Rangers have offered a contract for me to come. What's it like there? And I kind of go, oh, well, we've not got a manager to know. They don't know what's happening.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's brilliant. You need to get yourself here. Because I want the club to do as best they can and try and get players up. And then when they said we were getting Steven Gerrard, it was like, right, now we're talking, now we're finally moving in the right direction. You know what I mean? When that first went in, there were some players that probably shouldn't have been there.
But it's funny because before I done this interview, I was thinking, when did he sign? And in my head, I thought it was the summer, but it was actually, if it was being the January, then I'm sure we Billy at that point was...
He signed permanently in the summer.
I'm thinking. Did you play 6 months then with wee Billy at training and stuff like that, Billy Gilmer?
No, I think it might have been that January or whatever that he left, because he was never in when I was in.
Because I've got this memory of somebody, he was meant to come in the first team and then they get kiboshed at the last minute. I'm probably getting my times mixed up then. Aye, I'm definitely getting my times mixed up.
Obviously, the boys spoke about him and that, and he said he was different level even at 15.
Aye. So, like, obviously, Jamie, when you've come in, man, it's like you're thinking it's a dream move for me, but like you're saying, there's a lot of players at the club that probably shouldn't have been there, and we're lucky to be at Rangers, and behind the scenes there was a lot of stuff happening. You're just thinking, what have I came to here?
It wasn't, but obviously I followed Rangers, so I knew, you knew what was happening. I knew people at the club, you knew, but I always wanted to feel that I could help, if you know what I mean.
Aye.
Like, it was an opportunity for me to go in and try and help, which is, well, kind of what happened. I went in, I'd done well. New managers came in. Obviously, things happen and you move on. But I still look fondly on my time there.
Aye. And what about when Gerrard came in? What was that like? That must have just gave the club such a lift. But what was he like as a person?
Yeah, he was a good guy. And stuff immediately changed, you know what I mean? Like, professionalism went through the roof with everything, and it's pretty much what you see today. Like, he's conducted himself like that all the way through.
Aye. Like, I mean obviously I look at him and go, he gave us back, I don't know, like the way he carries himself, it's like the way Rangers managers of the past, do you know what I mean? Like, he's got this aura about him. What was he like on a training field and stuff? I hear a lot of things, it was me and Michael Beale that takes a lot of the training and stuff. But what was Gerrard like tactically and training-wise?
He was more like, would oversee the training, if you know what I mean. Michael Beale would take all the training. And he was great. Michael Beale was like, he's got this knack. You know, some footballers are a bit thick, you know what I mean? So he has this knack of making things sound simple.
Right.
And it means people take it on board a bit quicker. He was really good. Obviously, you get the other coaches, Tom, Gary McAllister in there, but the gaffer's more like an overseer of our training, like obviously organised it and stuff, but like you could see what was happening and pick his team through there.
Aye.
Old school, like Martin O'Neill.
Like Alex Ferguson, I think, heard was the exact same. He always had his coaches take the training and he would stand and watch.
Looking back, man, I always seemed like, you must seem so frustrated about it, but I remember your injury at Rugby Park in that cup game. Like,
that happened right in front of me, man. Right in front of me. I was devastated that day. That happened. Fuck off, man.
I was a bit. What I remember, what it was, obviously I went down and what happened, and I'm lying in the flare and I'm screaming, it's agony. And I look up and there's a guy in the first row of the crowd looking at his mate and he's going like that and he's just like, nah, it might have been you. You might have been sitting there just...
Was I? Honestly, I'm right in front of me, man. I think everybody kind of knew. Just because at the park it was on, we all just went, nah, this isn't good.
I knew it straight away. Like, it felt like my whole knee went out and came back in. But I was just lying there and I was like, oh, here we go. But I never knew it would be so bad and take so long and that kind of thing. But
I mean, I don't even need to ask you how that must have affected you mentally, mate. That must have absolutely floored you, especially missing on that amount of football. What did you do to just try and keep yourself stay motivated and positive? Was it?
It was brutal, to be fair. It was, I'd never really had anything like that before. And then, but you kind of just throw yourself into it as if you're training. Do you know what I mean? You train every day, you try hard every day, whatever. So now I'm no training every day, but I'm in the gym every day. But I'll try hard in the gym every day. You know what I mean? That was my way.
That's the right attitude, though. That's the right attitude. You know, a lot of people, their head would have went down. And obviously.
Close to the physios and stuff, I still speak to them now. And then even then, throughout the time, it was up and down, and it was never like going like that. It was going up and down all the time.
Which your best story for playing at the Rangers? Your best story? Somebody goes like that. Sum it up. Tell us a wee story.
Oft. Give me a second for that one. I don't even
know. Think about it. It could be a memory. It could be a moment. It can be a...
It's obviously going to be a memory, mate. He's going to need to remember it.
The one I've got, one, I don't know why it's special, one, but I really remember was the first pre-season Steven Gerrard took over. We were at La Cala and just outside Marbella.
Mm-hmm.
No, the bar and Denniston, no.
Wolfie's bar.
So we're in the hotel all week. We've been trying to get a night out or whatever, and they're like, no, no night out. We're having a barbecue on the last night. Then we can have a couple of drinks in the hotel.
Wow.
So we turn up thinking it was going to be like a barbecue with like ribs and steak and all that.
Burger.
Aubergines getting made on the barbecue and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So we had whatever, and then he said, right, you can't go out, but you can stay in the hotel lobby. We'll keep the bar open. You can have a few drinks. And it was just an enjoyable time. Like, all the new boys had never really experienced it. We were all sitting there. We were all having a drink. The manager came and sat, had a drink with us. After a couple of hours, he was telling us to go out. But Mark Allen kind of said, no, stay at the hotel. And then it got to a point, and it was like, so we had all different people who, so obviously, the manager's a Liverpool fan. I was a Rangers fan. We had people from down south. I think Tav's a Leeds fan. So everyone had to sing a song of their...
Oh, brilliant.
Of their club.
Club.
So it was just 20 guys just sitting there having a good time. You're getting to know people. And
I had to sing like a good buzz, didn't it, man?
The manager sang the Mo Salah song when it was his turn. But,
well... Yeah. As long as it was that you'll never walk alone, we're brand new.
I bet you it was, and he's just...
That's what I was thinking, Dave. Because are you a total pro in terms of with stuff like that? Do you know with your diet and your eating and how much you drink and have a good time? I see you as one of these guys that's mega focused.
On the football, I'm mega focused, but my problem is... I'm a fuss eater. I don't like any maced foods.
Oh, I hate folk like you, mate. I hate fuss eaters.
When we go to a restaurant, I'm having to ask for none of this, none of this, none of this.
Hey, mushrooms.
I bet you are no mushroom guy.
I'm a bit like that, man.
Are you? Toe, you really like that?
Oh, mate, I absolutely cannot eat anything with mushrooms and onions on it at all.
Wait, onions? You don't like any with onions? Onions isn't fucking everything.
See if I can see them, I can't eat it, man.
So where do you order then, Jamie? Fucking chicken nuggets and all that?
I'm not that bad, but like veg and salad and all that's got no room on my plate.
Very good.
I call that foreign muck.
But I do try my best, especially as I've got older. I've had to adapt and change. But like you said about having a drink and that, I think it's important that like when the boys win, you celebrate together and whatever. And Nigel Clough, the manager I played under, was really, really big on that. And I feel like I carried that through. So if there's ever a team night out, like, I'll be there.
Nigel Clough, as in Brian's boy?
Aye.
our manager at Sheffield United.
God, I can see him, although it's sad that Brian Clough died there, you know, the alcoholism and all that and stuff like that, but I can, that does surprise me that he sees that as a big thing to bring teams together, do you know what I mean?
He'll have learned a lot for his dad, won't he?
Old school, do you know what I mean? Even though it didn't end up.
He was very old school. It wasn't like, it wasn't like all tactical and all that kind of stuff. Now it was like, you've got your teammate, you work hard for your teammate, you play well, you do the right things. And I remember when he first came in, it was like, I think he first came in, it was like late November, and like all teams were trying to organise Christmas do. So the new managers come in, we've had to say to him, look, we've got this weekend where we were going to go Christmas do. He's like, brilliant, no problem. We had a meeting and he was like, Christmas do, I want everyone there. If you don't go, 500 quid. I'm getting told if I don't go on a night out, I'm having to pay 500 quid.
That's brilliant.
I'll definitely be
that
there.
Is class.
Nah, he was good like that. He would take us away on trips. Just, he said that footballers just need a little blowout now and again, which is, I think is really true.
But what I want to know is, that's the, you know, the Christmas night out and stuff like that. Was there a, did you stay in with Gerard? Did you go fucking go-karting or anything like that? Or
well, we went
paintballing.
The biggest one was when we went to Tenerife on the winter break. He said, like, we can't go out. We Rangers, it's hard to go out anywhere. So it's like, we're going to Tenerife. We've got the winter break. At the end of the winter break, you've got 2 days where you can go out Friday night and then all day Saturday or whatever. So it was like Friday night, fancy dress. So it was colours. So you had to pick, name in the hat, pick the colour out. What colour are you? And then you had to dress in that colour.
Oh no.
I think it ended up on the back page. Oh yeah, it's like fancy dress or a night out in Tenerife. But it was a good night. Like, but in the end, it's just normal people. Do you know what I mean? If you are playing in a Sunday league and you had a night out with your team in a Sunday league, you go out and probably do the same stuff that boys at Rangers are going to do and whoever's going to do.
Aye.
Of course. The only problem is sometimes you've maybe got to watch with Snapchat and fucking cameras and pictures and all that. And I would imagine sometimes you might, obviously sometimes it's came out with young players taking videos and all that and being a bit naive with stuff like that. But I'm taking it, and that's obviously a thing as well. You've got to be switched on with that. Even with a drink in you, like get that camera to, you know what I mean?
Well, the big thing with Gerard was when he came in, when we went on a night out, security came with us, no matter where we went. So obviously before it was a bit here and there, but he made sure. I think it's probably because he used to have it all the time.
Aye.
So we used to, if we were going to away games or whatever, we're going to the airport, we'd be like right in the middle of the airport, everyone there all over you, whatever. As soon as Gerard came in, back door, no problem. Right on the plane.
Class.
So whenever we went in a night out, we always had security and stuff, people like that. So
wow, man. Must be brilliant. Must be brilliant play for Rangers, man.
So what you're saying is Glasgow Airport forgoes security for Steven Gerrard?
Oh no.
That's the headlines in the paper.
That's not what you outside you have to go through. You still have to do all your same usual crap, putting the bag in, all that kind of stuff, but still no messed about.
Just so brings the standards up, but didn't he, Gerrard?
Aye, but like obviously I've experienced it down south. That is just everywhere down south. Like at Brighton, we used to fly to all the away games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jump on the plane, fly to the game, everything organised, security everywhere, no problem. Like, he's obviously made Rangers like a English Premier League team, you know what I mean, which is how it should be.
Aye, because there's been a couple of times, like, Gredo, you'll be the same, get invited to the director's box and stuff, and you talk to Colin Stewart, and Colin tells us, like, when Gerard came in, like, obviously the stuff he's been used to doing at Liverpool when he came into Rangers, even stuff at Auchinhowie and stuff, he just transformed everything. Everything changed.
Food as well. Food was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the food was good and that, but as soon as he came in, it was like...
Different level.
Like, different level food, aye.
But what do you mean? Would it go fair?
You'd have hated all the chicken nuggets that took off the menu.
nay tomato sauce.
Right. Aye. With a plate of sugar in that, Jamie boy.
Nay salt, nay tomato sauce.
Nay salt.
All the usual stuff. Nay like diluting juice or anything like that.
Sriracha.
Just pure water.
Aye.
Only. Aye. Fancy coconut waters, all that kind of
What a bogging shite.
Yeah, man, fucking coconut water is bogging, but until you try it.
It's rotten, man.
I get told about it for a hangover one day, man. I bought it and I fucking nearly waited.
Was it maybe Rangers coming in, man, trying to sell contraband, like selling you a wee Coca-Cola or a fruit shoot and all that?
Monster munch.
Somebody outside the stadium with a burger van.
Usually me.
Straight down to Govan McDonald's drive-thru for the boys.
Jamie, see when you were at Motherwell, I always remember, man, there was always like rumours. Did Rangers never approach you when you were at Motherwell before you went to Sheffield United?
No.
Because I always heard that rumour all the time. That
obviously, I've read it in the paper and I phoned my agent and asked him and stuff, and he was like, no. But they'd just been put down to the third division at the time.
Aye.
I hadn't heard it, and it was literally just, I know people sometimes say it's obviously it's paper talking that, but I think it genuinely was. I never heard anything about it.
Actually, you get obviously, that though, don't you? See if there's any standout players for any Scottish teams, they always get linked to Celtic and Rangers, don't they?
Aye.
Well, and as well, obviously, they probably should. Like, Rangers and Celtic should be signing.
Aye, I agree with you. The talent for Scotland.
What? The thing is, Rangers gone down to Division 3, Jamie, and they came in for you. I mean, that would have been a tough one, because obviously it's difficult circumstances there. Like, people at Lee Wallace and that stayed with Rangers, but would you have took the step down to Division 3?
I think I would have, aye. Like aye. Earlier, like, I wanted to help, do you know what I mean? I wanted to be aye. Part of it. And so I probably would have, but before it even... So my contract was running out in the July, so you can speak to clubs in January. Sheffield United came in at the start of December, so it was kind of already really sorted. And, you know, Sheffield United was a great club, man, gone down and stayed in the moment, like, training ground, obviously it's training ground, old, but everything, the stadium, the atmosphere, everything about it was brilliant. I loved it there.
So, did you play in many Sheffield derbies?
No, they were in a different league at the time.
I thought that. I was going to say, because that's still a huge derby down south, you know.
There was one year we got to Wembley, we got to the semi-final of the FA Cup, and in the quarters, we got Charlton or Sheffield Wednesday. And Sheffield Wednesday was fine. So that would be massive if we'd got that. But we managed to get through and obviously got to play at Wembley and 70,000 people or whatever. It was brilliant.
Must have been a tremendous experience, right enough.
I managed to score as well, which was good. That's something I always remember. I've still got the strips up on the wall and all that kind of stuff. But we nearly got through. We were winning twice against Hull. They end up getting beat 5-3 or something like that. I think they got beat in the final of Arsenal, but it was a good thing.
That's the year they were 2-0 up in the final, eh? And Arsenal come back and beat them. What a nightmare.
They scored a free kick, if I remember it.
House Hibs.
It's really good. I do like it.
Right. Was it a big decision for you in terms of, was it other folk coming in for you when you were at Rangers? Was it a decision to stay up here and things like that? It must have been a big decision for you, that move.
It was kind of like, I could have went back down south, but my little girl had started school. I want the kids to be brought up here and not have any.
You don't want to squirt the English accent on them, don't you? Not.
Well, they've lost that now. They did have it for a while, but
that's a game.
Back I want up. To come up here, and you know, I see players have to move about and stuff. Obviously, the bigger the player, maybe the more moves you're going to get and stuff like that. But I feel like whatever happened now, if I went down south or went wherever, like, kids and my wife would probably stay here and keep their life as calm as possible.
So what's the plans for next season then? How do you think these are going to get on? What's the ambitions for Hibs?
Finish third again, I think. It's obviously the big one. You know, we obviously lost the cup final there, but you want to get back there. You want to try and win it again. But, you know, it's hard to do. But aye, third's probably what you're aiming for.
No, you don't need to answer this, right? But I've beaten Hibs training ground, and I'm pretty sure I've seen tomato sauce there. Have you no said, come on, boys, we need to wrap this?
I said, no, and that's the only thing Jamie eats.
That's where he signed.
Literally have a chicken burger with tomato sauce.
Beautiful. And chunky chips.
Chunky chips. You make tatties and all that, man. A combination chicken.
Yeah, like, whenever the chef mixes us mushrooms or whatever through my bottle, I'm like,
Straight down to the Easter Road McDonald's, my man.
Mate, obviously going for Rangers to Hibs, when you went there, was there any banter? Like, obviously, I mean, there's like the old subplot every time Rangers and Hibs play with like Ryan Porteous and Morelos and all that. Did you get any banter when you walked in as if, oh, here he is for Rangers coming here and all that?
A little bit. You get that whenever you're going, if you're moving team or whatever. Obviously, if you're moving around in Scotland, people kind of know who you are and you've played against them, stuff like that. And speaking about Porto, he just gets abused all the time.
Aye. He does.
He's in DMs after the game and that. He's like, look at this. And it's somebody just absolutely slaughtered him.
Does he love it?
Yeah, he likes it.
Mate, I played him during the first lockdown. The first lockdown, I played a NHS charity FIFA tourney.
Did you?
I got Liam Boyce in my group and alas, I can't remember her name now. But I finished second in the group and went through. Liam Boyce was like a demon at it at FIFA. He absolutely destroyed me. Then I got through to the next round, beat you and Cameron. And then the semi-final, not the quarter-final, I got Porteous. And mate, I don't know what it was, man. I felt like if I didn't beat him, I'm letting Rangers down. I felt like I'm doing this for little Alfredo Morelos and everybody. I'm like, mate, I need to beat you. He went 1-0 up and he was really good at it. And I beat him 2-1, scored in the 90th minute, and I think I gave him a bit of abuse, and I feel bad about it.
What did you say?
When I scored in the 90th minute, I'm like, yeah, I fucking get up here.
Yeah, prick.
No, I didn't go that far, but he was like...
That's for El Buffalo.
He strikes me as a right brand new guy, but he seems brand new.
He is. He's a great guy. To compare him, he's like that against every team you play against. He's no putting it on, just...
Aye.
For the cameras or for a certain player or whatever.
Stop your wind up, merchant.
Like that every single game, aye. And he's a good
player. I think he might have took it personally, but man, because he said he would come on the podcast and I messaged him after it and he need me, man.
I bet he's singing. He has took it personally. He stopped watching River City.
Was it weird? What I've always wanted to know, see in terms of, like, obviously you were at Hibs, were you loan at Hibs first, weren't you?
Aye.
So, I mean, and I've got a flashback of you sitting in Easter Road all mic'd up and stuff like that, I'm sure. Was that right? Am I getting that right? You were only playing, but you were all mic'd up, and I'm going, are you sitting there going, I wish I was playing?
What, doing to the bench, saying I should be playing here?
Well, when did you have the mic?
Because whenever I've been injured, which has been obviously a little bit this year, the manager would... I feel like the manager respects my opinion and that, so sometimes I'd go on the mic and I'd...
Well, so you're the teacher's pet?
You're the teacher's pet. He's right.
Fucking hell, man. With a mic and all that. Bit of advice. Kick him off.
That brings me on to the next question, actually. What is it like to work under Jack Ross? He seems like quite a forward-thinking, like, modern manager.
He's really good. Obviously, he knows what he's doing already, do you know what I mean? Like... got us playing good football and try to win games. And I mean, finishing third last year was a big thing. Hibs have not done it in 18 years or something like that.
Is that how long it was?
It was a long time.
I think it was a long time.
Mowbray
finished third,
I
think.
Wow.
To get us there after what I think he was in for half a season before that, he's done a great job.
Jamie, all the best for next season, mate. It's been an honour having you on the show. You've been a good guest. At the end of each show, we do a 90-second quiz on Scottish football. Are you up for it?
Go for it.
Right, so I'll let you into some of the scores that we've had so far. David Martindale's top with a score of 16. In joint second, it's John Sutton, Chick Young and Hamilton Scott Martin, all on 15. Mark Wilson and Keith Lasley are sitting in third with 14. Other selected scores include Barry Ferguson on 12, Maurice Ross on 7, Marco Negri on 5, and Barry for EastEnders on 4. At the bottom, it's a tie between Peter Lovenkranz, Derek Johnson, Craig Levein, and Miksu Patalainen, and they're all sitting on 3. So, out of all of that list, who do you fancy? Who do you want to beat?
Lasley, probably.
Yeah. I think since Grado's had a few beers, it better be me or Stevie.
No, I've had one.
Any question?
I've had one.
As many as you can answer in 90 seconds, Jamie. But you can't pass, even if you don't know, you must give any form of answer.
Yeah.
Right, John, you've got 90 seconds on the clock. I'll read the questions.
Sound.
Have indeed.
Right. What is the name of Peter Head's home ground?
No idea. Park.
Who was Celtic captain in a 2003 UEFA Cup final?
Paul Lambert.
Who is the Scotland national men's team most capped player?
Oh, Kenny Dalglish.
Which Scotland side are nicknamed the Blue Brazil?
Cowdenbeath.
In what year did you win your championship runner-up medal?
2017.
Boghead Park was the home of which Scottish League One side until 2000?
Clyde Bank.
Which side did Gary O'Connor join after his first Hibs spell?
Spartak Moscow.
Who topped Group A at the Euros?
Group A was... Italy.
Name the only SPFL team Barry Ferguson played for other than Rangers.
Clyde.
Who did you make your Scotland debut against?
Costa Rica.
Who wears the number 23 shirt for Scotland?
Nisbet.
Right, what city were Meadowbank Thistle based in until their move to Livingston in 1995?
Stirling.
Name any Fife-based team currently in the Scottish Championship.
Time.
I've asked so you can answer.
You can finish.
Belmont.
You done pretty well there.
Thank you, did I?
I'll go through your raw answers. We've got first question. What's the name of Peter Head's home ground, Jamie? It was Balmoor. Boghead was the home of Dumbarton.
Sure, that was Clyde Banks or all though.
You know what?
Really?
You know what?
See you, John.
Because they shared ground, so I'll give you that one as well.
Well played, Jamie.
Well done, joint, Jamie.
Which side did Gary O'Connor? It was a 50-50 ball in this one. It was Lokomotiv Moscow, not Spartak. Billy Gilmore wears the number 23 shirt for Scotland. Meadowbank Thistle were based in Edinburgh until they moved. They're just up the road, Feaster Road, Meadowbank. But apart from that, mate, you got everyone right. So you got, if we're taking the Clyde Bank one, that's a 9 for you.
9, well done.
Nice one. Did you beat Lasley?
No, Lasley get 14.
Ah, fuck.
Did he get 14?
I know.
If I got all them right, I'd be on 13.
Aye, Bob's slow.
In order.
Brilliant, mate. Listen, that was a great interview, man. I loved all that. That was fantastic. Listen, wish you all the best.
Aye, good luck for next season, Jamie. All the best, mate. Thanks for coming on, bud.
Thanks,
you take
all,
care.
Man.
You take care. Right, tatty bye.
Cheers, Jamie. Bye-bye.
Football Daft with G4 Claims. Find them on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at G4 Claims Limited.
Right, boys. We're recording this on a Thursday. It's been a good show. It's been very eventful watching Grado batter his way through his beer keg. It's been one of my highlights of my week. It's been a good show, Atto.
I've enjoyed that.
I know as much as Grado. I wish that was fucking Graeme Stevely right now.
I wish as well, aye.
Listen, I can't see anything. I can't even remember the Scotland and England game. I was that pissed.
Hey, listen, so, I fancy staying on this room all night, man. Who's up for it? Rave off. Come on.
I'm up for it, bro. Get that Scotland song on. We'll be coming.
Boys,
oh, we're coming home. Oh, we're coming home. Oh, we're coming home.
Oh, we're coming home. Home. We're coming home.
You see, John.
Boys, before, just for the listeners there, we did say a couple of weeks ago that we were going into a studio. We did say that. Tonight.
We lied.
We did lie. No, we didn't. We thought we would have. But tonight, myself and producer John are going to see that very studio.
What, no, do you know what I meant to ask you, John? What, see when you were at the game, see the game in Monday night. Yes. What was the kind of, what was, you see how the pre-match, was there a song with you like, fuck man, I'm back at the football. Because see, watching the Wembley, because they did play Loch Lomond at Wembley and I'm going, and I was driving here and I'm going, that's a fucking heavy Was there a song we like, oh this is class, it was just
that's been a year and a half that we've not been at a football ground, so it was just amazing being back in a stadium and amazing seeing players. Apart from the result, it was just such a buzz, you know, that especially with the atmosphere, the occasion, obviously it went all tits up, but just being back in the stadium and seeing live football again is great, and fingers crossed boys, we're up and back in the stadiums for the start of next season.
You never answer my question. What was your best? Was there not a song that you went, did you not get gooses on your gooses?
When they're doing the national anthems, that's when you get it, isn't it? When you're doing the national anthems, that's it. I mean, Scotland's is a bit shite, but, you know, it still gets you going.
Scotland's is a bit shite?
When you look at the Italians of the world.
Come on, you, man.
Been great, though. I wish I could come through for a party, mate. Enjoy the rest of your night. Probably in your bed in a bit of an hour. But have a good time. See you soon, boys.
The fucking idiots. See you later, troops.
See you after, boys. Audio Frontier.